If you have your Bible, you're going to need it today, for sure. It's not going to be as much preaching as it's going to be a lot of Bible study. So I would encourage you to have your Bible handy. Even though I have the verses on the screen, I'm really going to be flipping through the Bible quite a bit. Now, I'm not a very good pastor. I forgot to say Happy Father's Day to everybody during my announcements. I knew that I was forgetting something, and I wasn't quite sure what it was, but Happy Father's Day to all of you fathers. And just so happened today, I think that my message will apply to you a little bit because of church leadership, and God has specifically called men to lead. So let that be your encouragement on Father's Day. We don't have a piece of bacon to give men. We gave women roses. I don't know what we'll give men. We'll just say, God bless you. We love you. I hope you get a day of rest today. But happy Father's Day. I hope that you feel special by your family. So some months ago, I've got a lot to cover this morning. Hopefully I won't keep you late. Some months ago, back in the fall, I preached on church vision. If you remember, we were saying, okay, who do we want to be as a church? We want to be people who behold God. We want to be people who belong to the body of Christ, belong to the church, and we want to be people who are being sent. So I want to behold God. I want to know God vertically. This is who I want to be. This is who we need to be. Horizontally, we want to be people who belong to the church in a real meaningful way. And then we also want to be people who outwardly are sharing with those around us, our family, neighbors, coworkers, and friends, and even the nations. So that's our vision. That's who we want to be. And then we talked about some weeks ago our church strategy. We were looking at what was called lengthen and strengthen. What are the ways that our church needs to grow in? What are some of the cords, we called them, like a tent? What are the things that our church needs to stretch out in ministry? The cords that we need to lengthen. The verse was Isaiah 54. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left. It's my hope and prayer that God will enable us to lengthen some areas of ministry. And those areas of ministry were prayer, proclamation of the gospel, reaching out to parents and children, planting, multiplying small groups, and then reaching out to the nations, all the nations, which was Pontata Ethne. So I tried to lay the groundwork for vision and strategy, and we're going to keep coming back to it because it's not something you can do once, something you have to tell over and over and over again so that we get it. So today, what we're going to do is for the next couple of weeks is we're going to talk about those four stakes of the tent, okay? So if you've ever put a tent up, Zeke and I were walking in the country park last night, and we saw somebody camping, and they had their tent on a hill. I mean, like a 45-degree angle. I don't know if it's their first time camping or what, but they had their tent on a 45-degree angle on a hill. You really don't want that. You're going to have those stakes driven deep into the ground, or else you're going to slide off the hill. So we talked about those cords. Now those stakes we want to drive deep. What are the things, what are some things in our church that already exist, but maybe we need to tap them down into the ground a little bit harder for the security and the safety of our church in the future? Some of the ways I would describe it is our church has a lot of life. If you think of the church as a body, our church has a lot of life, has a lot of blood, has a lot of flesh. We have love each other, eat together, encourage each other, give to each other. But that skeletal system underneath, that framework of our church would be those stakes, some things that we need to strengthen in case God did enable us to grow our church by His grace. If God added another 100 people, would our structure be able to support that weight? So we're going to talk about some of those things. The four stakes are church leadership, we'll talk about today. Church leadership. I'm going to talk about elders today and talk about deacons next week. I just didn't have enough time, I thought, so I'm going to separate that and cover deacons next week. Church leadership would be one of those stakes that we would drive in. Church membership would be another one that we would drive in. Church stewardship. And then I'm actually not even going to preach on church polity or you would all fall asleep. But I will mention that in the weeks to come as just as a partial in my sermon. That's our church documents. What do we believe? These kinds of things. So to elders this week, deacons next week, let's pray together. Lord, you know this is a topic that is not maybe as interesting as it needs to be. But your word is interesting, and I pray that your word would speak today and that you would accomplish your purposes in this church, that your church might be built up for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So my goal today is going to be very much like a Bible study, okay? It's going to be giving you instruction in doctrine more than preaching. My goal today is two things. Number one, I want you to see that the standard practice in the Bible is to have a group of male elders leading the local church. Standard practice in the Bible is to have a group of male elders leading the local church. And number two, I want you to see what an elder is. What is an elder? Let's define what an elder is. We'll define it as we go through the scriptures. So as we look through the scriptures, you'll be seeing, oh, I see what that is, and I'll try to make it clear. So if you have your Bible, you're going to want to keep it out. I want to start in Exodus chapter 18. You say, wow, Exodus, that's weird. Exodus chapter 18, okay? So turn in your Bible to Exodus 18. I'm going to summarize some of this. You know Exodus chapter 18 is where Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, comes to him and he visits and he sees Moses day after day just receiving, as one man, Moses is receiving everybody's complaints and judgments and everything. They're just everybody's going to Moses to try to get the answers. And Jethro comes to him and gives him some very good advice, which Moses receives and takes. Chapter 18, look in verse 17 on the screen. Let's see if I can see this in my Bible. I'm going to read on the screen. My eyes are starting to get bad. Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you're doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Now obey my voice. I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens, and let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you, and you will be able to endure. And all this people also will go to their place in peace." So this is wisdom from the Bible that his father-in-law gives to him and says, one man is not the way it's supposed to be. Now, where I come from in America, we have a lot of churches that we have deacons who serve and we have one man, senior pastor, and he calls all the shots. The Bible tells us that's not good. The Bible tells us one man calling all the shots is not good leadership. Number one, he will wear himself out. And number two, it's just not wise. There needs to be other people who are helping to bear that load. So this is wisdom from the Old Testament where Moses, where God's word tells us that one leader over a people is not good. He said, what you're doing is not good. You will wear yourselves out. It's too heavy for you and you're not able to do it alone. This is the foundation of elders in Israel. a body of men that the group of that the people of Israel had that shared the load of leadership. In Numbers, also in Numbers 11, God tells him again, hey, get some of these leaders together, these elders of Israel, and I'm going to put some of the spirit that I have in you, the spirit that you have, Moses, I'm going to actually give them some of that. So what's in Moses' heart and the spirit that Moses has, he distributes that amongst these elders, and they actually prophesy and start speaking the word of God. So that's Old Testament wisdom that God gives us, that one-man leadership is not wise. So let's look in the New Testament. We'll see it splattered all over the New Testament. Let's turn to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6 is a little controversial, wondering whether it's really talking about deacons and elders or not. Really deacons, because it doesn't mention the word deacon, but it mentions what they do is the word deacon. So I don't see the controversy there. It doesn't say they're deacons, but we traditionally know them as deacons because of what they do, which is called ministry, diakonia, which is where we get the word deacon. But this is really the foundation, the prototype in Acts chapter 6, where we see a division of leadership and a division of responsibilities in Acts 6. So let's read it. Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists, by the way, those were Greek-speaking Jews, arose against the Hebrews because the Hebrew widows, or the, I'm sorry, the Hellenist widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So they were giving out food and the Jewish guys were giving out food to all the Jewish widows, but the Hellenists were being looked over. And the 12 disciples summoned the full number of disciples, and they said, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. So they chose these men. You notice what he says, that we will devote ourselves, the apostles said, we will devote ourselves to the preaching of the word of God, but we need other people to be doing these practical duties of the church. We will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word, but then these guys, these seven deacons, were serving tables or serving the widows. Now, just so you don't think that deacons only serve tables, remember who Stephen was. Do you remember who he was? Do you remember he was full of the Holy Spirit and doing miracles, and remember he was martyred for his faith? So don't think that they were just serving tables, but their primary duty was the disciples were to commit themselves to the Word of God and to prayer, the ministry of the Word. Notice the word ministry of the Word, yet they were doing ministry of taking care of these widows. So that's really the prototype of where we see deacons. We'll talk about that next week, okay? So I just wanted you to see what was the beginning of a division of responsibilities there in the book of Acts. Also, Acts chapter 14... Acts chapter 14, starting in verse 23. Well, really, that verse is on the screen. So, when they had appointed, this is speaking of Paul, when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Now, just before that, it says they went through Derbe and Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. And in all of these places, they went through these places. Notice it says they appointed elders for them in every church where they went. The apostles could not do everything. As the church grew, so leadership needed to be transferred to the local churches. It would have been ridiculous for everybody to go back to Jerusalem to try to get some of their leadership. So instead, the apostles, Paul, they appointed elders in every church they planted in those areas. Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, even the church in Jerusalem, really interesting to see, even the church in Jerusalem, even though the apostles are there, they also have elders. In verse 2, verse 4, verse 6, 22, and 23 of chapter 15, it all says, the apostles and the elders. So even though the apostles were there, these pillars, this foundation of the faith, who walked with Jesus himself, were eyewitnesses of his resurrection, yet the church in Jerusalem itself also had local elders who were governing the church. Acts chapter 20, I'm just going to walk through the New Testament, okay? So Acts chapter 20, we're going that direction. Acts chapter 20 is when Paul calls the Ephesian elders to come to him. And he's going to give them some instructions. And his instructions also tell us what some of the responsibilities were of the elders. So look in verse 28. It says, pay careful attention. He tells these elders of Ephesus, pay careful attention to yourselves. And pay careful attention to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God. Very interesting. I want you to see, and you're going to see this throughout the New Testament as we go through this, is that the word elder and the word shepherd, which is pastor, and the word overseer are used interchangeably. Even in this sentence, pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock. Flock is sheep. He's right. He's actually speaking to the elders. But he says they are to pay careful attention to the sheep. And then he says the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Overseers. Overseers, the Greek word is episkopos or scope. To look over with a scope. So the overseers or the elders or the shepherds, they are supposed to be overseeing, to be looking over, caring for the church of God. That's a specific responsibility that he tells them they are to have. Now notice too, we don't have time to go into all of this, but notice he says, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. He doesn't say, just you choose it on your own. Guess what? I want to be an elder. It's a calling of the Holy Spirit. Now, we will see in other places this elder, pastor, shepherd, overseer again and again. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Interesting, Paul is writing to the church in Philippi. And he says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi or Philippi with the overseers and deacons. So Paul in Philippi or Philippi, Paul is actually writing to the congregation as a whole, but in his mind, there's a separation there. There are these people he calls overseers, and then there are the deacons. 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is probably one of the biggest passages of Scripture that talks about the qualifications. This is the only one, the qualifications for deacons and elders. 1 Timothy chapter 3, he gives specific qualifications. We already saw that they are to care for the church of God. They are to oversee, shepherd, and there Timothy, Paul to Timothy is going to give us some specifics. Now, I want you to see, interestingly enough, the qualifications for elder and deacon are very similar. The qualifications that Paul gives for elder and deacon are very similar. And actually, the things that are required, the things that are required for elders and deacons are also required of every Christian. Most of them. Required of every Christian. in the New Testament except for one, and that is in verse 2. So this saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into the snare of the devil. Now notice a lot of these are mentioned in the New Testament of none of us are supposed to be lovers of money. None of us are supposed to be violent. We're supposed to be gentle. None of us are supposed to be drunkards, right? So these are qualifications that are required of believers. And then also you'll see next week in the qualifications for deacons. But in verse 2, able to teach is not a qualification of deacons, and it is not a qualification of every believer. God does not require every believer to be able to teach, but it is a qualification for elders. Now, why is that important? Because you'll see that the qualification or the main task of Acts chapter 6, as you saw, of elders or overseers or pastors is that they are men of the Word. Their task is to the task of the Bible and to teaching. Instruction in sound doctrine. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. He says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the Scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborer deserves his wages. So Paul says here, the elders who are ruling over you, who are overseeing over you, they are to be worthy of double honor. He's telling that to Timothy. Especially, he says, those who labor in preaching and teaching. So this task of elders or overseers or pastors is to preach and teach the Word of God and to oversee the congregation. So men of the Word, preaching and teaching, overseeing. Titus, which is the verse that we read earlier, turn to Titus, two books to the right. Book of Titus, starting in verse 5. He says, this is why I left you in Crete. So what's the reason why he left Titus in Crete? So that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, sound familiar? His children are believers, not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer, now notice he said elders there, and then he says for an overseer. He's using those interchangeably. An overseer as God's steward must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. So this task of elders or overseers or shepherds or pastors is a task of the Word of God to oversee the church and to be able to teach and to give instruction in the Word, to hold firm to the Word, to give sound instruction and sound doctrine. Why? So also because these wolves come in and you've got to be able to contradict it. Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews 13, verse 7, Hebrews We don't know exactly who wrote Hebrews. Many theories to who wrote Hebrews. But it says in Hebrews 13:7, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And then over in verse 17, it says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. Keeping watch over your souls, as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So in Hebrews, he uses the word leader, but he says that a leader is one who spoke the word of God over you and is keeping watch over your souls. That idea of keeping watch, by the way, is someone who's standing up at nighttime, Ba'an, is not sleeping, but he's staying awake the whole time, keeping watch. That's the picture of what a shepherd is supposed to do over the sheep. So he uses the word leader, whoever he is in Hebrews. That's why I think that is synonymous, because he uses these two things, the Word of God and watching over. Those are the two things, the Word of God and watching over. The book of James, which is one of the earliest books in the New Testament, written to many churches scattered around. And in James 5:14, James assumes that the churches have elders or should have elders, because he says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So James assumes that these churches that are scattered around should call for the elders in the churches. Lastly, 1 Peter, I know I'm going fast, but lastly, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. This is not Paul speaking, but Peter. Most of the other ones have been Paul or Paul writing to someone. But 1 Peter chapter 5 gives us some more instruction on what elders are or that churches should have them. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder. So Peter's an elder, some church, exhorting these other elders that he's writing to, which he's writing to many different churches scattered around. And as a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfailing crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So notice in this passage, he again, the three things. He says, I exhort the elders to shepherd. Doesn't that sound funny? Elders should shepherd. Those are different words in Greek, by the way. In English, it's not just making a play on words. Those are different words in Greek. Elders, you are to shepherd, and you are to give oversight. So all throughout the New Testament, these words are used interchangeably for these men of the churches who are to look over, to look over the church, to care for it, and to speak and teach the Word of God. And this is Peter, not Paul, speaking here. So, in Acts, in the churches that Paul said he planted, in Ephesians, in Philippians, in 1 Timothy, in 2 Timothy, in Titus, in Hebrews, and James, and 1 Peter, in all of these books, they testify that the churches have local elders set up in them to care for the church, to teach the church, and to oversee the church. That's pretty astounding if you look at the New Testament to see just how much that is there. So, what's the next slide? I can't remember. Okay, do what? Yeah, go to that one. So, elders, what are elders? Elders are a group of men in the local church who are called by the Holy Spirit to shepherd, oversee, and teach the church the Word of God. That's the definition that I've pulled from these verses. Elders are a group of men in the local church who are called by the Holy Spirit to shepherd, oversee, and teach the church the Word of God. So, let's clarify a few things that elders are or are not. So, elder doesn't just mean old men. Elder doesn't just mean old guys. Okay? If we look at the Bible, there's no qualification that an elder is supposed to be someone old. The qualification, only one even relating to that, is 1 Timothy 3:6, which says they must not be a recent convert. A recent convert. And recent convert is not the same thing as saying an old man. So it doesn't, elder here does not mean old person, but it's actually an office of the church that is doing a certain thing. So better to have a godly young man than an ungodly old man. Okay? Elders primarily to oversee, shepherd, and teach the Word of God. It's really not about age. Now, to say that, old men are usually a lot more wise than younger men. But the Bible doesn't give us that qualification. Now, I do want to clarify, and if you want me to preach a long sermon on this, I'll be glad to, that according to the Bible, elders are male. Elders are male. They are men. Men and women are both equal before God, both made in the image of God, but both have different roles according to Scripture. God holds in the home the man responsible to be the leader of the home, and to be the one who teaches his family the Word of God. And it's the same in the church. The role of elders in the church and the role of husband in the home is the two things, remember, to oversee and to teach the Word of God. To oversee, it's a position of authority, and to teach the Word of God, a stewardship of the Word of God and of doctrine. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, where we read those qualifications, you do know the chapter divisions are not in your Bible. The numbers that you have in there and the chapters did not exist in the original. And just before the qualifications of an elder in 1 Timothy 3, Paul says, I do not permit a woman to teach. That's the two things. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. It doesn't mean a woman cannot teach, but specifically means to teach or exercise authority over a man, because that's God's created order. And the reason Paul gives in that passage is he gives God's created order. Just as Jesus is one with the Father and they're co-equal, and Jesus submits to God the Father, in the same way, God has a created order and he wants men to lead as elders. Secondly, elders are not just decision makers like a board of directors. Elders are not decision makers like a board of directors. As you saw in these passages, they are to be men of the Word who have a stewardship from God to shepherd. You notice the word care was used a lot? To shepherd the church, to care for the church, to teach and instruct the church in the Word of God. So it's not just a decision-making body. It's a body of love, a body of caring and pastoring and counseling and praying with, not just making decisions. Number three, elders are not a one-man show. Elders are not a one-man show. As we saw in the book of Exodus, many churches, maybe like Moses, have a single Moses or a single pastor who is the boss and He is in control of everything, and that is not a biblical model. I hope you know and hear my heart. I have no desire to carry the load of this church by myself as a pastor. The load is too heavy, and it's not right. It should be multiple elders who are bearing that load. The load is easier to bear if it's distributed evenly. So as a church, my prayer is that in the years to come, part of this is bringing us and saying, okay, well, what does the Bible say, and are we going to take it seriously or not? As a church, we need to pray. This is not something, by the way, that's going to happen quickly. This is something we need to move that direction toward, not something we need to drop and just say, hey, today this needs, that's not going to happen, all right? That doesn't need to happen. But we do need to move toward obeying what the Scripture teaches of having a plurality, many elders who are shepherding, overseeing, and teaching the church. May God grant us the grace to be able to do that. Next week, we'll look at deacons. What is a deacon? And we'll see how those roles are different in Scripture and how both are vitally, vitally needed. Let's pray together. Lord, I'm reminded that Paul told Timothy to simply devote himself to the public reading of Scripture. And that means, Lord, that if we were to just get up and read the Bible, that should be enough. Your Word is sufficient. Thank You that Your Word is something we can stand on. And Your Word is not something that we have to update to the 2.0 version or the 10.0 version. But You have given us Your Word, and it's true and it's solid. It's a solid foundation that we can plant our feet on and know that we have a solid footing. So I pray, Lord, that You would raise up more and more men in this body. Here on Father's Day, I pray that You would raise up men who would teach the Word. Teach it publicly. Teach it in small groups. Teach it privately. You'd raise up ladies who can do like Titus 2 says, to teach one another, and teach the older women, teach the younger women, and teach kids, and go as missionaries. But You would give us, Lord, more and more leaders in our church to teach. Elders who would oversee, called by You, called by the Holy Spirit. So Lord, we entrust that to You, knowing that it's Your work. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.